689 in the hymn book, we are minus Jason. He's down picking up Kelly from the hospital. And then Donna is with Paul Freeman and Rest out in Lancaster. So they're not here today. So.
So we're stuck with the third string here.
So we're going to do the best we can. It's either that or we're losing out on college.
We'll give you a little intro here.
The key's a little bit different from what we're used to. We'll manage.
What number again?
689. We're going to go across the page now. We're going to do our songs back to back and have the rest of the announcements that we'll have. So 690.
And my faith, we can see it all.
Thanks for keeping up with me, Rob.
Sure.
Okay, well, let's have an opening word of prayer. Father, we thank you for all that we're able to be here tonight. For those who aren't able to be here due to whatever reason, pray that you have safety of travel, an enjoyable time, and for those who are not feeling well and unable to be with us tonight, pray that you would comfort their hearts and strengthen them, encourage them. We pray that they will be back with us again on Sunday. We do pray for the time tonight that you would be honored and glorified by all that is said and done. And as we look forward to Sunday, as you tarry, we do pray for the Hitchens as they come, that you give safety to them, that we would have an enjoyable time learning from him in Sunday school, and then for Brother Paul Freeman as he preaches again in the morning service. Thank you for all that you do, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right. Other than what I just mentioned in my prayer, I don't really have any other announcements that I'm aware of. Why don't we take our Bibles and turn to Revelation 3. We'll go over our memory verse now. Revelation chapter 3.
Hand these out, please. Okay, I'll give Ralph a minute to hand out those sheets there. And there was a few of us here from last week, but some of us weren't. And so I'll give you a brief explanation of what it is that we're looking at here. Back a few years ago, I believe in 2001, Paul Harvey, I'm sure most of you are familiar with him, that he did a lot of radio commentary and some other things, a very conservative-minded person like we are. And he had a little commentary that he had published in Sword of the Lord, and you have the text of it right there in front of you. And so what I did is I just broke it out. I left spaces in between each of his comments there. And I thought what it would be good to do is take a look at these things. And he took the role, I guess you'd say, of devil's advocate, to say, if, well, he was the devil, what would he do to our country to mess it up? So he went through this list of things that he would do to mess up our country. And you can see that most, if not all, of those things have really been accomplished in a, probably some of them in a very big way in our country. And I'm not saying that we are going to be able to reverse these things, because I really don't think that we can, because I think the only way they're going to be reversed is when the Lord comes back and does things right and sets up the millennial reign. Then we won't have these things. We won't have all this immorality and injustice going on. But it's the way it is now, because the wicked are in rule, and they cause a lot of problems. As it says in Proverbs, when the wicked rule, the righteous mourn. And so, you know, we probably mourn a lot when we hear some of the things on the news. We read things in the paper that are abominations in our mind, and they're abominations before God, too. But anyway, that's the way it is. And we're not going to necessarily change all that. It'd be nice if we could. But then again, we're not called to change the world necessarily. What we're called to do is witness one-on-one to people. You know, so we shouldn't lose sight of that. If we have a chance to witness to a person, and if issues like this come up, and you know they say, well, you know, what's wrong with same-sex marriage, or what's wrong with abortions and things like that, you know, if we're not ready, we would be caught off guard and just be, you know, hama. We're not going to say anything, and you know, we would be a bad witness for Christ if we didn't have anything good to say. And it's not going to be our opinions that we should be coming out with. We should be having Bible verses ready. We should be able to say, well, you know what? Well, that's maybe popular opinion, but, you know, the Word of God has something else to say about that. Now, if the person just cuts you off at that point and says, I don't want to hear it, well, okay. Well, then they don't want to hear it. That's their prerogative, you know. And, you know, when we do give an answer to somebody, as it says in 1 Peter 3:15, be ready always to give an answer. But then when you get down to the end of that verse, it says with meekness and fear. So we're not supposed to just get in somebody else, you know, get in there. They got in our face, we'll get back in their face, you know, and get into an argument with them. No, that's not the way to do it. You know, we do it with meekness and fear. We're meek in the sense that we're gonna be spokespersons for God. And the fear, I think, that Peter meant is to be fearful that we don't give a bad testimony. That we have a fear, always have a fear, which means a respect of the Lord. We have a respect of God's word and respect of what the scripture says. And so if we're going to try and help somebody, we have to do it with the right attitude. And anyway, we were going through these things one by one. And what I was asking everybody to do is, as we go through these things, come up with a scripture verse. Okay, put yourself in a position where you're faced with discussing these things. What would you say? What would you say from God's word? What Bible verses could you have ready to bring to inform somebody in a good way, that they're not just listening to what the world says? They say, yeah, everybody has opinions, and everybody, maybe a lot of people agree on it. That doesn't mean it's right. In God's eyes, it still isn't right. You know, and if we can impress that on somebody, maybe we get them to think, and maybe we can get that person to come around. And it might not happen right at the moment, but if we plant a good seed, hopefully that's something we could do. We got down to the point on. Well, I'm not sure what page it is on you. I have more stuff here. But the last thing we looked at, it said, I would convince people that character is not an issue when it comes to leadership. And we went through some things on that. So the next point there would be, I would make it legal to take the lives of unborn babies. And I went and left my Bible back there. Jim, would you do me a favor? Would you get my Bible off the table, please? We know that Roe versus Wade, and you know, we can pray about some of these things, because right now I do believe that the Supreme Court is going to take up the debate on that. I know I've been hearing things. Thank you, Jim. Been hearing some things about that, and it's possible that there could be an overturning of that. I said possible. You know, so let's pray for that. Let's pray for that. That the Supreme Court would overturn this hideous thing, you know, making it lawful to kill babies. And I always thought that the people that do that, you know, women say, well, I have a right to do with my own body. But the fact is it really isn't their body. You know, the fetus that's inside of a woman is not her body. It's the body of that child. It's her child. And it's the child's body. And if you take her position back to when she was in the womb, she wouldn't be saying what she's saying today if her mother thought the way she's thinking. If her mother was thinking, well, this is just a lump of flesh, I'm going to get rid of it. Well, and that person, that woman that today is now fighting for abortion rights wouldn't be saying those things, because she wouldn't be around anymore. It's a it's hypocrisy. Okay, yeah, you want to kill that, you want to kill your baby, but somebody, you know, you weren't killed when you were a baby. Well, and yes, people do have a right to control what happens to their bodies, men and women. But, you know, when it comes to having a child, you know, well, think before you have the child. Don't have the child and then get rid of it. So, you know, I think that, you know, it takes restraint, proper restraint. And like somebody said, or many people have said, just say no. Kathy, you had your hand up? No, that's okay. That's just right. You can. Well, that's kind of what I was just saying too. Yeah, you can speak freely. That's okay. And we know there's no CIA in here. I know. But that, no, I don't think that's a lot. It's a logical thought, you know. And but see, you know, a lot of times we get hesitant to say something. Because, you know, we think, well, we're going to sound like maybe we're holier than thou, or we're not politically correct, or this or that. But you know what? The left doesn't have a problem saying what they want. The left has no problem, no matter how hideous or how awful it is, they'll say what they want to say. They'll just blurt their mind out, and then they'll put it on the nightly news yet, too. So, you know, and then our opinions are supposed to be stifled. They don't want to hear what these Christians have to say. They, you know, they don't tolerate anything. See, they get into this tolerance and intolerance thing, where it shouldn't be tolerance. I mean, we shouldn't be tolerating murder. You know, it's a shame how we're supposed to tolerate things that we shouldn't tolerate. You know, if you go back in time, none of these things, you know, that are on this list would really even be issues, because they would be. Not that they wouldn't be around, but they wouldn't be in the forefront. They wouldn't gain much traction if you go back a number of years before these things became actually everyday occurrences. But so I had a couple of verses here. I had Psalm 139:13 that says, "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb." And Isaiah 49:1. And I'm not going to just give all the references. I want, you know, as you think of them.
127:3.
Psalm. Yeah. Okay. Let me just read Psalm 49:1 here real quick. It said, "The Lord hath called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name." That's just the end of the verse. But you could see where, you know, the Lord, you know, it's a human being. It's a person that the Lord knows, even knows your name. I should write that down. Joe, you said Psalm 127?
Yeah, 127:3. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward.
Okay, very good. So if you have a Bible verse, and if you don't know the reference, just give us what you have, and we'll try and help you find the actual Bible reference. What I'm going to do when we're done with all this study is I'm going to make another handout with all the Bible references that we came up with and just give it out to everybody. So if you miss something, don't worry about it. You'll get it later. Anybody else have anything in regard to abortions?
Sam,
yes.
One comment. The baby is not a part of the mother. The blood never mixes. The nutrients go in the umbilical cord from one to the other.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. Yeah, because a baby can have different blood type. Yeah, that's a very good point. Did y'all hear Yeah. It is a separate person. It's a separate body. It's, you know, it's a separate human being. I'm glad to see that there's some states that are passing some more restrictions, at least say when there's a heartbeat, that's it. No abortions anymore. You know, it shouldn't even go that far, but it's better than nothing, you know. So, I had also had a Romans 1:31. Romans chapter 1 really really indicts a lot of people, evolutionists and abortionists and homosexuals and everybody else. Romans 1:31 says, The phrase that I'm looking for, it says, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection. That's the phrase I'm looking at, without natural affection. I mean, it's not natural to want to kill your child, whether it's born or unborn. But, you know, and you could apply that natural affection to a bunch of other things, homosexuality and other stuff too. Anybody have anything else for that particular item? Okay. If you think of something later on,
there are Old Testament scriptures in the law mm-hmm. about penalties about injuring a woman and she loses a baby.
Yes, exactly.
Can't tell you where. Deuteronomy probably.
Yeah, somewhere in the law.
Somewhere in the law.
Yes.
Essentially, that baby was considered.
Mm-hmm. Right. And yeah, and the strange thing is even in our country today, in this day and age, there are if you commit a crime and you kill the mother, well, maybe not the mother and the fetus, but you kill a fetus, in some states that's called murder. Mm-hmm. Killing that baby is considered murder. But yet the same state probably has abortion laws. Yeah. And it's like, what? What are you thinking? What are those people thinking? They're not thinking properly. They're not reasoning the way the Lord wants to. Let us reason together, said the Lord. You know, and I don't want to take that verse out of context, but, you know, the Lord does want us to use reason in a good way. And if we use it with the Word of God, if we use it as Scripture as our foundation, we'll do the right things. We'll move on to the next one. It says, I would make it socially acceptable to take one's own life and invent machines to make it convenient. We've seen that going on already in our country. There have been a few doctors that have been doing it. Dr. Death, I forget his actual name now. But Kevorkian, that's it. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I don't know if he's even living anymore. That's been a while. But I just read something about over in Europe. There was a country over there that wanted to, that we're talking about passing laws for euthanasia and different things like that. Or, you know, if it didn't have to do with somebody having a health problem. Just if you want to die, then you want to terminate your life, then you terminate your life. And then we're going to, I didn't really study it. I just saw a headline somewhere. But, well, you know, here's... The most obvious verse is Exodus 20, verse 13. When you're in Exodus 20, you know what that is, right? It's 10 Commandments. I mean, you can go to the 10 Commandments, probably for anything in this list, the 10 Commandments has it covered. But Exodus 20, verse 13 says, thou shalt not kill. Well, take your own life or anybody else's, you know, that's still your killing. Killing is killing. And that would actually also, include abortions. You're still killing a person, you know. I would, you know, some people that think that they can have an abortion and they're not killing a human being. So, well, you know, if you didn't have the abortion and 9 months later, what would come out? A dog? A cat? A parakeet? What's it, you know, it's a human being. It's your child. Your child is going to be born. It's going to, you know, there's only two choices. It's going to be a boy or a girl. But it's going to be a human being. It's not some unknown thing. It's not some lifeless piece of flesh that you're killing. You know, but I'm backing up on the other thing there. Does anybody have any reference for the taking of one's own life? Like I said, you know, thou shalt not kill pretty much covers that. I would say even the verse I just said, Romans 1:31, without natural affection, you know, it's still, that covers that too, because, you know, you should enjoy your life. You should not want to terminate it. Sharon? Okay.
Created in God's image, mm-hmm. to me means something you don't touch. touch.
Amen.
It's God's in control. He made you.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah, that's a point where, you know, we have reverence for God. We have reverence for His creation. He created us. We have reverence for life because He's the Lord and giver of life. And as you said, God created life. God created people. He created everything that's living, even plants, even the grass that we hate to cut every week. Still, God created everything that's living, plant life, animal life.
He created man in His own image.
That's right. That's right. That's the big difference. Yes, that's the unique point. Man, we were created in God's image. So, you know, people wonder, what's God going to look like? He's going to look like us. Or I should say, we're going to look like Him. I should put it in the right order. We're going to look like Him. And certainly He's going to look better than us. He's going to be more glorious, far more glorious than we, even though we'll have glorified bodies. You know, it even says, you know, like the Lord, we shall be like Him. You know, it's hard to imagine what that transformation will be like, but God's going to do it. Ralph?
Familiar verses, 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's.
Amen. That's excellent. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20 were the verses that Ralph gave us there. Thank you, Ralph. That was good. Should we move on to the next point? Okay. Next point says, I would cheapen human life as much as possible so that the life, that's not spelled right. I said the life. It should be the life of animals are valued more than human beings. Now I have a verse Genesis 1:26 where it says, let them have dominion, that we are to have dominion over the animals. We're to have dominion over the world, over everything in the world. God created this planet for, this is our home. He created this for us to live in it. We're to have dominion over it. We're also supposed to be caretakers of it, you know, but we are supposed to be the in control of things. We're supposed to have dominion over the animals. But today it's flipping that order around. And all these restrictive laws are created where you can't, you know, a farmer can't plow a field because there might be some lizard living out there. You know, well, yeah. I mean, even locally here in Coopersburg, they had a problem with, there was a bridge on the, I think it was Main Street in Coopersburg, was closed for months and months and months because the state had to come in and do an inspection because there might have been some turtle or something living in the creek where they could sort of, you know, they didn't want to disturb that doing the work on the bridge. So the state was supposed to send in a team, probably the DER was supposed to come in and check this all out, and if there was anything there, then they would carefully move these things to another part of the stream. Well, in the meantime, no work could be done. The bridge is closed. People are detoured. You're wasting gas. You're wasting time. Everything else, blah, blah, blah. Finally, the state gives this report. Well, there's nothing there. Go ahead, do the work. And they charged Coopersburg, I guess. They charged them $135,000 for the study. Then they found out they never did the study. They just wrote something down and gave it in. They lied. They're supposed to do the job, but they didn't do it, you know. But there again, you know, it's ridiculous. All that aggravation and wasted time, wasted money, wasted everything because of that. Because they couldn't do a little repair work on a bridge over a little tiny stream. I used to go fishing when I was a kid. My dad and I would go around in these little streams like that, and we would catch stuff for bait, you know, and the things that are in there, these little wormy things or whatever they are, you know, or crayfish or anything, they're smart enough that when you start moving stuff around, they swim away. Minnows and whatnot, they get out of there. You know, they're not that stupid. You know, and you start working, you start moving stuff around and, you know, doing that bridge work, those critters are going to go downstream or upstream, and they're going to get out of there. They'll come back when the work's done. But, you know, it's unbelievable how much is... You know, we're held hostage over things like it's silly. but, you know, and it just, it hits us in taxes. I mean, $135,000. Now, I don't know if the what Coopersburg did about that because it was a sham, but, you know, that stuff goes on all the time. Those type of reports, those expensive things are going on all the time, and we have to pay for that. That's coming out of our, that's coming out of our pockets as tax dollars. And they wonder why we have to keep paying more tax, and they got to keep raising taxes. You know, it's terrible. But now I'm getting political. Sorry about that. But the other verse I had was Romans 1:25, where it says they worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator. It all falls in line with, you know, people. There are some people that are evolutionists, or whatever they want to call themselves, and say that, you know, the earth would be better off if there weren't any human beings. They really, that's how they think. They think that they'd be, if they could exterminate, they could press a button and exterminate all the human beings, they would do it. Because they think
including themselves.
Oh, yeah. Sure. I guess. But that's the way they're thinking, you know, that the humans don't belong here. They think we don't belong here. That, you know, everything else does, but not us. But they don't, they obviously haven't read the Bible. So, yeah, it's too bad. Okay, the next point there is, I would take God out of the schools where even the mention of his name was grounds for a lawsuit. And don't we see that? Don't we see that today? And the sad part about it to me is that children are being indoctrinated. I remember Pastor Freeman used to call the public school system a church of Satan. He said, it's not a school system, it's a church. It's a church of Satan. What they're teaching these kids in public schools is horrible. And they are teaching witchcraft and all kinds of stuff, you know, and they forbid the Bible. You could read a Quran and you could do other things, but, you know, when you start bringing Bibles in, and they want to kick you out. There was a verse in Matthew 19:14, it said, but Jesus said, suffer the little children and forbid them not to come unto me. You know, the Lord, of course, he wanted those little children. The disciples, you know, they get these kids out of here. They're bothering the Lord, you know. And, oh, no. Lord, no, let them come to me. You know, the Lord understands that, especially in our life, in our lifetime, the sooner we come to him, the sooner we come under his loving care, the better. You know, that we're going to be learning good things at an early age rather than waiting till we've wasted most of our life and then come to him. But you know, he wants the children to come to him. But the school system is forbidding the children. They're forbidding them to come. And they took prayer out. They took everything out. You can't mention God. Kathy, what were you going to say?
Yeah.
So there'll probably become a day when they won't even allow them into prisons. Joe?
Yeah, but Carbon County, there's all kind of people, organizations sending Bibles up to that prison up there.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all over the place. Mm-hmm. Even the daily breads are up there. They're being sent mm-hmm. up in boxes.
Yeah.
And like she said, you can't go into a school.
Yeah.
You could do it in a prison.
Yeah.
That's the last resort. That's what they're thinking.
Yeah,
let's
right.
tell these men about God and these mm-hmm. women about God, because mm-hmm. this is the last resort. Nothing mm-hmm. else is working.
Yeah. I mean, it's good that they allow the ministries to go into prisons and to work with people. And, they can get saved. Sure. Anybody can get saved. We're no different. You know, there's as many sinners outside of prisons as there are in prisons, because we're all sinners. We all need salvation, no matter how morally good we might be. So I know some of the prisons restrict the type of Bible you got it. And I don't mean King James, but how it's made. I don't think they allow hardcover. It's got to be softcover.
No, they don't give you hardcover.
Yeah, the one down in, I think it was South Carolina, they said very specifically it had to be a certain type of a softcover Bible, because the hardcovers, you could smuggle stuff inside the hardcover. So that's why.
Could be a weapon too.
Right, yeah. Yeah, so that's why they didn't want hardcover Bibles, but they did. They allowed the softcover. Yeah, they were kind of specific as far as the way the book was bound. Okay, anybody have anything else on that point there? On the next one, I would come up with drugs that sedate the mind and target the young, and I would get sports heroes to advertise them. Well, we certainly have seen now a lot of that. I do. I do have a reference there. I have 1 Timothy 6:20. I just wrote that one in. Yeah. 1 Timothy 6:20, Paul says, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings, vain meaning empty, and oppositions of science falsely so-called. And the reason I picked that verse was because of the last part in particular, oppositions of science falsely so-called. Well, the Bible sure does cover everything, you know, false science. And to me, a lot of the things that they've come up with in order to give psychotropic drugs to children because they have behavior problems is what I'm thinking of in this, the sedating the mind and targeting the young, because it really rewires the brain, those drugs, that psychotropic drugs like Ritalin and Prozac and some other ones. That, you know, they come up with, first they came up with a phony label calling it ADHD, attention, or is that the right acronym? Attention deficit, something like that.
ADHD.
ADHD, yeah. But anyway, is that right?
Attention deficit disorder, ADHD.
Attention deficit disorder, yeah. ADD, yeah. Attention deficit disorder. But it's and I've read some things about that, because we actually had a problem with a family in one church I was going to, and the kids were so messed up. Every one of them was on one or more of these psychotropic drugs, and they were just, you couldn't handle them. You know, their behavior was so bad. Now these drugs are supposed to help with the behavior, and they made it worse. Because the kids can't think right, they can't think straight anymore, and they get frustrated real quick, and they get frustrated, and then they want to strike out many times physically, because they're frustrated and their mind is messed up. They can't handle the stress, but this is, you know, it's fake science falsely so called. You know, there is no such thing. Oh, kid's got a bad behavior. Well, the Bible says, you know, that you get the paddle out. Like Paul Freeman said, you take the board of correction and apply it to the seat of understanding. You know, I think that's how he said it. You know, but people, oh no, you can't do that anymore. Oh no, you can't strike your child. Oh, well, the children need to be corrected. I know I was corrected quite a few times growing up, and I'm glad I was. Kids today don't have the fear. You know, I was afraid of what my dad was going to do to me, and my mom. My mom would give us spankings too. We get chased around the house by mom and dad. And if we happen to get away from mom, she says, "That's all right. You wait till your father comes home." Yeah. So we'd have been better off just letting mom give us the wax, you know, and because when dad heard that in, he was real mad. Because we disobeyed mom. Anyway, go on to the next one. Okay, next one says, I would get control of the media so that every night I could pollute the minds of every family member for my agenda. Boy. I guess the verse I just read in 1 Timothy 6:20, avoid profane and vain babblings, because that's what a lot of that stuff is. A lot of the stuff is that you see on the news or any part of the media, it really is vain babbling. A lot of it is just flat out lying. And but the agenda is being pushed. The agendas are being pushed even in commercials. I don't know if you ever... I don't like to watch a lot of TV anyway, but when commercials come on, they really irritate me because I could see some kind of a moral agenda going on, and even in the commercials. And a lot of things that are passed off as comedy are full of agendas. They're full of, especially a lot of homosexual agenda is pushed through that. And they get people to laugh at it. See, getting people to laugh at something is kind of bad. And because other people, ah, ha, ha, they laugh at it. And a lot of times I've corrected some of my friends. I said, you shouldn't be laughing at that. I said, why not? I said, well, I know how you think. I know you're a conservative person and everything else. I know you're morally upright. Why are you laughing at something like that that's absolutely disgusting? Well, it was a joke. I said, no, it isn't. It's not a joke. That's not funny. It's not something to joke about. And I know there's a verse in Proverbs that talks about joking, that we got to be careful about jesting, vain or coarse jesting, or I think it's called. Maybe it's not even in Proverbs. But I know Ralph's looking because I think Ralph knows what I'm talking about. But we got to watch that. We've got to be careful with jokes. That's why, you know, after I got saved, when people started telling jokes, I just walked away from it because it's not a good thing. Because if it's unsaved people, it's going to start out, might start out with a couple of clean jokes, but then it's going to degrade quickly, you know, so it's a good idea to just not tell jokes. Most of them are of a very, very poor subject matter in the first place, or things that we shouldn't laugh at, you know, somebody's misfortune in one way or another, really nothing to laugh about. Or things that are an abomination to God really shouldn't be the subject of humor. Because it gets us, when you laugh at, you know, you think about it, when you laugh at something, you actually are accepting it. Because you're not turning away from it, you're actually being amused by it, you know, and that's, the devil knows that. He knows that. He gets you to laugh, he gets you relaxed, you know, and you start taking in a lot of stuff that you really shouldn't. Ralph, you still looking for a verse there?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you can bring it up later. I'll go on to the next thing though. It says, I would attack marriage and the family, which is the backbone of any nation. And of course we see that. We see marriage being attacked. The family, of course, is being attacked through divorce and so many other things. And then the institution of marriage is being twisted around with same-sex marriage, you know. This is another thing where children at a young age are being indoctrinated into this stuff. They're being indoctrinated into homosexual lifestyles, saying that these are acceptable and healthy and everything else, and you shouldn't feel that, you know, it's wrong to do this. And yeah, it would attack marriage and the family, which is the backbone of any nation. And I had a verse here in 1 Corinthians 7:2, which is one of those verses that really covers a lot of things. 1 Corinthians 7:2 says, nevertheless, to avoid fornication, and we know that's a sin of any sexual misconduct of just about any kind. It says, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife and let every woman have her own husband. So that limits any sexual activity in a proper way between a husband and a wife. That's what the Bible says. So if you go outside that relationship, the Bible calls it fornication, the sins of a sexual nature. So that would, and you can't have a same-sex marriage and have a husband and a wife. You got a wife and a wife, or a husband and a husband. You know, God's not stupid. He knows. There's so many verses in Scripture. There's so many places throughout the Scripture that condemn those things. That's, you know, one of the reasons why the Bible is kept out of schools and even a lot of churches. A lot of churches don't really even use the Bible. You know, we do, thankfully. But I know in the Catholic Church, we never use the Bible. We had prayer books, but no Bibles. You know, and I know sometimes during a mid-service sermon, they might read one verse, usually something out of the Gospels. You know, one of the four Gospels, they'd read a verse and then just start talking about something else. And it was really, you never got any kind of Bible education there. But if we did read the Bible, and, you know, I know reading the Bible for my own sake, when I was introduced to reading the Scriptures, it really opened my eyes to a lot of things. It's pretty plain to see what God expects out of people, how we're to live, how we're to treat each other, how we're to respect God and His commandments. I think what I'll do is I'll stop right here because there's more stuff to cover, and it's almost 8 o'clock already. So we'll do one more session. Got a couple minutes if anybody wants to, you know, you have anything else that you thought of in the meantime, or you have comments or a Bible verse you want to share, Sharon?
Identify with the other gender. Mm-hmm. And I think you know about the school situation where they allow boys and girls restrooms in school. Mm-hmm. And locker rooms.
Yeah.
Boyertown had a court case. Mm-hmm. But the Supreme Court did not hear it. They took it to the Supreme Court, but they refused to hear it. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, I followed that in the newspaper. And to me, that was kind of sad that, you know, I consider them to be rather gutless by not taking a look at that. I mean, what's there to think about?
Yeah.
You know, it's just, well, today so and so feels like a boy, and next day he feels like a girl, and he's going to use the locker rooms and facilities that he wants. And you know, and these kids were saying they feel, you know, threatened by this. They don't want these people doing this stuff. It's hard to believe that you could just change your gender identity just by saying, well, today I feel like a male or a female.
But you don't understand, it's just a small minority is winning over the majority.
That's right.
That's the sad part.
Right.
There was a graduation coming up tonight, and the boys were going to wear dark blue graduation gowns, and the girls white. This girl says, I'm not a girl anymore, I'm a boy. Which, I mean, strip her down and show me where you're a boy. First of all, I'm not show me where you're a girl.
Yeah, all that to do with that.
You can't change your chromosome. You are a girl no matter what.
That's right.
But she said, I will not wear white because that means I'm identifying myself back with a girl, which I am.
Yeah.
So they gave her a blue one.
Yeah.
And she sat where the boys are on one side, the girls are on the other.
Yeah. See,
I mean, one person had that whole place in an uproar.
Mm-hmm.
Because they thought they were a woman,
mm-hmm.
even though she's a woman.
Yeah.
I can't believe
it. See, and
one person says that into the whole, and then right away all these different groups are coming in fighting for her right to identify as a boy, and she's a girl, and everybody gives into it. Say no, you're a girl, you wear that, but then don't show up.
Yeah,
but they're scared.
I know. There's a like you said, there's a very small minority of people that are in this perverse mindset, but they have backing. There's a lot of really rich people that are looking to wreck our country and really the world, and they have money. They have people in position in governments at different levels. They get laws passed, and these laws have such vague language in them that these lawyers, they know about this. It's like setting a trap. It's exactly what it is. And these traps are set all the time, and then when a situation is there, then they use it. And they get it right there, and they get it out in the media and everybody else. And then you're supposed to feel sorry for these people. You know, they develop sympathy towards these people that are, they're wrong. But it's all engineered that way. Just like another thing, I saw your hand, Kathy, but, you know, like these things where these same-sex couples want to have some baker make a cake for them. And baker says, I'm not doing it. Okay? Now, you can't tell me that there aren't bakers somewhere that are sympathetic to these homosexuals. And they'll bake all the cakes that they want. They don't want that. They don't care about the cake. Cake means nothing. What they want to do is cause controversy. They want to get this, they want to blast this out in front of the world to say, oh, look, my rights are being abused. You don't have rights. You don't have rights to force somebody to bake a cake for you. That man owns that business. He can do what he wants. You don't want to bake a cake? He says, no, I'm not baking a cake for you, period. Go somewhere else. It's free enterprise system. Somebody's going to open up a bake shop and bake the cake for them, but they're not interested in the cake. The cake, like I said, doesn't mean a thing.
They want to punish.
That's right. They want to find somebody that they know is a conservative, that they're Christian, that they're taking a stand against homosexuality, and these are the ones they're going to.
Well, the Dems are trying to pass a bill right now that will supersede any, like, our what we believe in our Constitution here. It'll supersede that. A gay couple could come in here and say, I want to be married in your church. You can't turn them away anymore. If this passes, that'll supersede anything that you have in there. In your Constitution.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to come. It's coming. Yeah. I mean, because our politicians, our lawmakers, they're traitors is what they are. You know, they shouldn't be passing these laws. These things should never even be coming before committees. They should just be throwing them right in a garbage can. You know, letting kids use whatever bathroom they want. And that started in the Obama administration.
Absolutely.
It started with him. And then, you know what, it's just these things, once they get in place, try to get rid of them. Now all of a sudden it's a right. All of a sudden, we never had this before. Now this is a right that you can't deny these people. I don't know. Like I said, you know, it's we're not going to stop it. But you know, perhaps along the way we could win a soul to Christ. We could show somebody what the Scripture says about things, and maybe that person's heart will be touched and their life will be changed. You know, it does happen. So all we can do is have ourselves ready with an answer, study the Scriptures. Yes, Sharon?
Keep praying for our government leaders as we have on our prayer sheet.
It's right. That's right.
Be saved.
That's right. Pray for our government leaders. You know, whatever victories we can win, even if it's on a personal one-on-one level or whatever it is, just do our best. So, okay. Well, thank you for listening and participating, and then we'll break off into our prayer groups then.